Recently, FBI agents came to Bergen County, New Jersey, to talk with high school students. It wasn't about drugs or alcohol abuse. It was about radical Islamic terrorism and being recruited to play a role in it. Why did the FBI feel this was necessary? Maybe because so far this year, there have been more arrests of recruited homegrown radical Islamic terrorism supporters than there were in all of 2013 and 2014 combined. With us now to talk about this recruitment effort by ISIS and the propaganda machine from PJ Media is veteran journalist Bridget Johnson. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And the website is pjmedia.com. And I wanted to have you on, Bridget, because, as I said, if the FBI is coming into a county that's in the center of northern New Jersey, and by, you know, superficial understanding, not exactly a hotbed of terrorism cells, somebody at the FBI must be really worried about something happening.
Yeah, I mean, the FBI should actually be worried about going into high schools in the Midwest.
Yeah.
You know, in the Pacific Northwest, in the Southwest. I mean, it's basically a situation of ISIS is still one step ahead of the U.S. government. You know, you can actually see this in kind of a microcosm form on Twitter when, you know, Twitter tries to keep ahead of it and delete these jihadist accounts. Well, they have a whole system set up by this point, ISIS does, for starting new accounts, for using people who are still online to quickly spread the word to others about what that person's new handle is. You know, I saw the other day one jihadist was gloating about how this is my 38th account.
More Twitter accounts than illegal aliens have driver's licenses.
It's a pretty vast network that they're using, but they're basically exploiting what they can, you know, both in terms of social networks to be able to spread their message and recruit. You know, I get a lot of tips of what ISIS is up to off of just these file sharing sites like archive.org and Just Paste It, et cetera. And those sites can't keep up with the material that's being posted there. And they're also gleaning a lot from open intelligence. You know, they use Google Earth to plan their attacks. You know, they basically, after the Garland, Texas shooting, for example, ISIS had a statement afterwards saying, hey, you know what, we watched all of the news reports afterwards, so we know who was there. We know what emergency procedures were taken to, you know, pull the people back. So we learned for next time.
And these people recruited, they're certainly not shy about professing what they want to do. John T. Booker, Topeka, Kansas, arrested in a plot to detonate a car bomb targeting soldiers at Fort Riley. You had Mahmoud Abukar Saeed, who was arrested for threatening to kill the U.S. Attorney General. They're stupid, obviously, by just being so vocal about what they want to do, but they're not shy about saying what they want to do, are they?
No, and it's also, you know, important for authorities to acknowledge that it's not just disaffected, you know, 20-year-old kids who are still living in mom's basement who are being lured by ISIS. You know, the guys who from Phoenix who went to Texas and shot up the Mohammed cartoon contest, you know, they were in their 30s. One of them owned a pizza parlor. You know, they both had jobs. One had a 9-year-old son. So, you know, this is, you know, also a matter of ISIS is saying, okay, you know, you don't need to come and train with us to be able to do jihad where you're at. You know, not only do they give, you know, training tips for at home, but, you know, there was one communique that was issued, I found, to Egyptian jihadists saying, you know, you just need to take whatever skills that you have and apply them to jihad. So if you're not, you know, very physical guy and, you know, great shape, you know, can't catapult over walls or anything, then, you know, don't go the route of, you know, an attack like we saw in Paris, but do something like poisoning. And you think of the implications of that of, okay, so what if you have somebody who's working for a catering company and gets lured over to ISIS and there's a big event?
Or an access to a water reservoir system.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking with Bridget Johnson from PJ Media, pjmedia.com on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm looking at, as I mentioned, over twice the number of arrests for terrorism sympathizers than 2013, 2014 combined, and the ages do vary, but when you see something like a 16-year-old in New York, South Carolina, wanted to conspire to steal guns and attack a military base. Tehran Pugh, 47-year-old Neptune, New Jersey, traveled to Syria, joined ISIS, flew to Turkey. I mean, they all take the similar path, but then they come back home with the training. Maybe with those younger ones, though, you see a 17-year-old in Woodbridge, Virginia, trying to join ISIS. That's why the FBI is looking at the, when you combine the open idiocy of someone in their teens versus the recruiting methods ISIS is using, which is, you know, rather, you wrote about, I believe, a handbook that talks about all the supposed glories of joining ISIS, that if someone is susceptible to any sort of recruiting, a brief guide to the Islamic State, that could be the key to turn somebody.
Yeah, and this was penned by a British jihadist who was totally on the radar of officials. I mean, he was on BBC, he was on Channel 4,
yeah.
And he was arrested in September along with some other radical Muslims in London, and he jumped bail, basically, took his passport and went to the Islamic State. And so having guys like this, he's actually quite a good writer, so having people communicating in English, knowing the culture of places like the U.S. and Britain, and being able to reach out to recruits on that level, you know, for example, in this book, he's talking about, you know, just how great their lattes and cappuccinos are.
Really?
In the Islamic State. He's like, don't worry, you know, you won't miss the comforts of home because we have all the Snickers and Kit Kat you can eat. And you know, just basically talks about how it's a cosmopolitan state, and you'll come here and you'll find diversity, and there's nothing like Baltimore riots, or, you know, so they're really latching on to current events also to try and draw people into ISIS.
And the author of this 47-page booklet, ironically, is maybe not even much of a surprise, so was a close associate with someone who we've talked about here on the show frequently with other terrorism experts, Anshan Chowdhury, who ironically is a huge recruiter in England of ISIS sympathizers while he's living off of the welfare system in Great Britain.
Yeah, that's really ridiculous, too, especially, you know, I know the reaction I had when USA Today gave him a column after the Paris attacks, gave him an op-ed in our papers here. And just, you know, it just really should be a wake-up call for officials to say that, you know, yes, these aren't just people who are sneaking around in private, but these, you know, you also have to look at the people who are out there front and center saying, you know, we want Sharia as the law. We want, you know, basically the principles of the Islamic State to exist here.
These are stats from the Heritage Foundation. Since September 11, 2001, there have been 68 Islamic domestic terror plots. 57 of those 68 involved homegrown, meaning American-born operatives. Now, I mean, how much more of a wake-up call do you need? Yeah, I mean, you have so many people, primarily on the left, who, when you talk about this, saying, oh, that's fear-mongering, you're an Islamophobe, and even the government, you know, you've tried to get the president to say the word radical Islam. That's just two words that he's never going to put together.
And also how they like to write off lone wolf terrorists. There's actually no such thing as a lone wolf in the ISIS strategy, because this is exactly what their strategy is. They want to be like, you know, a salt shaker tipped over on a map of the world with little grains everywhere that it's hard to clean up. Having people in their communities start these Islamic revolutions is part of the Islamic State. It's part of the caliphate. It's not, you know, just qualifying somebody as a lone wolf seems to be almost an effort on the part of the on the administration to say that the problem is not as bad.
And add to that, the whole foundation, really, of what is the radical Islamist hope is a restoration of what had been the Ottoman Empire back in the 1300s, 1400s, when radical Islam, this might be a surprise for you, it's a little quick history lesson as we close things on this segment, radical Islam pretty much had the run of not just Eastern Europe, but a good chunk of Western Europe as well, and that's a lot of what the radical Islamists want to have returned, along with, obviously, the extinction of Israel, and if they can take over America, that's the extra bonus surprise on their, that's the dessert for their dinner plate. This is just one of the many topics Bridget writes about with honesty and with facts and with a lot of education information at pjmedia.com. Bridget, thanks so much for being here this morning.